Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor of Reader Views.
And I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'd like to welcome all our listeners to episode number 92 in our series. Tonight's topic is Unlimited Publishing Possibilities, and our special guest is Cheryl Pickett. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Now tonight we're on the line with Cheryl Pickett, who has been writing professionally for almost a decade. She got her start as a freelance writer in 1999, and she has well over 120 articles to her credit, which have appeared both on an online and offline newspapers, e-zines, trade magazines, and much more. A few years ago, she decided she wanted to take her writing in other directions and ultimately combined her lifelong love of books with her research and reporting skills. Her first book, Publishing Possibilities, 8 Steps to Understanding Your Options and Choosing the Best Path for Your Book, was launched in early 2009. The book helps other writers navigate the publishing industry. Her personalized, step-by-step approach is unique and empowers new and would-be authors to make solid decisions throughout their publishing journey. You can find out more about Cheryl and her book by visiting her site, publishinganswers.com, or the blog, publishinganswers.blogspot.com. Well, good evening, Cheryl.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here, Cheryl. It's really great to talk to you because you've had a lot of background in the publishing industry recently with, you know, actually publishing, but before that as a freelance writer, which certainly gives you a lot of credibility. As I was listening to Victor and talking about your recent book that was just published this year, and he said that your step-by-step approach is unique. And I just wanted to have you explain what the uniqueness is that other books have not covered.
Sure, be glad to. What I decided to put in my book was basically the stuff that I couldn't find when I started researching how to publish a book. It was actually, I think it was about 4 years ago when I decided that I wanted to possibly go into writing books after being the freelancer for a while. And besides trying to come up with a subject to write about, I decided to also research how to publish at the same time. And as you, I'm sure you know, the more you research online about publishing, the more murky the water gets because there's so much information out there. And so I was finding all kinds of information, but there were just, I just couldn't figure out where to put some of it. It seemed like, you know, one thing, one word meant one thing, one word, you know, then somebody else would use another word, and it seemed to mean the same thing, but it didn't, all that kind of stuff. And I really didn't find one resource that put it all together clearly for me, and so that's what I put in my book. What it does uniquely that others don't or do not is give you a background of the publishing options very clearly and define them in all the different ways people refer to them, as well as, besides just giving that, I help people figure out which one is right instead of like a lot of forums or different places do. They say, well, this is the way to go and this is the way to go because it was, you know, great for me. I help people make an objective decision, and that, as far as what I was trying to find when I was looking, is very different.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, there's just so much information on the Internet, and much of it is, as you had just alluded to, something that works for that particular person, and then it gets to be an opinion. And so there are so many opinions out there, and those opinions don't always work for everybody. And, of course, that's what makes each person unique because they have different needs, and of course that overlaps. And so it's also important for the listeners to really know that. Now, your book and the topic of this talk tonight or interview uses the word possibilities, and it's like, wow, you know, that's an interesting word. So I would like you to just expand that a little bit. What are the possibilities really out there?
Sure, be glad to. And it, as you sort of mentioned, I used that word in the title on purpose because, as we've sort of talked about, as I was doing my research, and I know as a lot of other people do theirs because I see it on, you know, newsletters and forums and things, people do say, well, this is the only way to go. And very often it's the traditional people that have been traditionally published. You know, and they're excited about their method, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it just comes across like there's no other option, and that's not the case. There's so much technology now and so many opportunities that didn't exist 10 years ago, let alone, you know, 50 years ago, that now the opportunities really are just, you know, they're all over the place for ways that you can get your work out there. Traditional is one of the most common. That's where somebody, a publisher, picks up your book, decides that it's good, that they want to put it out there. That's the kind that's been done for, you know, years and years and years and years and years, that most people are most familiar with. And then there's also the other, probably second most known option, which is independent publishing. Some people call it self-publishing, but that's one of those words that gets a little crazy, so I'm going to call it independent publishing. And that is where you set up your own publishing company and you put all the pieces together yourself and you get your book out there. Now, you don't necessarily do everything yourself, because I certainly don't. You know, I have a graphics person, and, you know, and I hire a printer and that kind of thing. But you are your own company. And then there's the third option, which can be called self-publishing. There's that word again, POD publishing. And I call it fee-based publishing, because generally this is where you pay to be published. You pay a company to do many of the services that a traditional publisher does, but you're giving them money up front. And so I just use that term, fee-based, to sort of separate those other terms and make it a little bit easier to understand. Now, one thing I will mention is that CreateSpace and Lulu basically fit into the fee publishing category, even though you don't pay the big amount of money up front. They, you know, you can do a lot of their stuff for free, but the business model truly is the same as the fee-based. So does that help?
Yes, it sure does.
Cheryl, let's start with the basics. I've been browsing your ebook here, and I see step one is set detailed goals. That sounds very interesting. Tell us about some of the goals that we should be thinking of.
Sure. And this is one of the points that I think makes my book unique, and because I really haven't seen it anywhere else. I kind of look at it this way. If you want to take a trip, you can decide on, you know, the various ways you could get there. You can drive, you can fly, you can take a train, you could take a bus, you know, you can maybe take a boat. But until you know where you're going and a lot of other details, you don't know the best way to get there. It's the same thing with publishing. There are so many people that they get excited about their book and they're ready to publish, which most of us go through, I'm sure. But if you don't take the time to know, you know, what your destination is at the other end, you know, what your goals are, you can't pick the best way to get there, because all of the options, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of the options that are out there, but you have to apply them to the right goals in order to really, I think, get the best experience you can. So, for example, a lot of authors think that they're going to make a lot of money, or their goal is to make money, and that is a legitimate goal, but you need to break it down further and look at things like how much money do you realistically need to make, and then how much do you want to make. Those are two different things. I mean, if you're looking at a book as a potential real source of income, especially now, you know, with people losing jobs right and left, maybe you're considering a book to replace income. You know, what do you need to make realistically, and how fast do you need to make it? Because if you are looking at going traditional, there's at least an 18-month to possibly 2-year time frame from the point that you get accepted by an editor or publishing house to the point that your book is out. Well, if that doesn't fit your time frame of when you need the money, traditional probably isn't going to be, you know, your first choice. By contrast, if you can wait, you're doing this for fun, if you're doing a book maybe to give as a gift, you know, there are all different ways where money or earning money fit into the formula. So that's just, you know, one of the goals that you can look at. Other goals are involve time. You know, how fast do you want to get the book out? I've seen a lot of conversations where maybe the person is a little older, a little further along in life, and they don't want to necessarily go through, again, that whole long traditional process. So maybe one of the other options is right for them. If you have a goal of establishing expertise, maybe you're in a business and you think, well, it might be good to have a book to further show my abilities or my knowledge. That plays in completely differently than having to get a book out soon because you want to rely on it for income. Those are, you know, just some of the things that you need to look at, I think, because if you don't and you pick then an option that doesn't match with where you really want to go, I think you just really set yourself up for disappointment that way.
Exactly. That's such a big part of the goal-setting process. And, you know, for example, you could have short-term and long-term goals. Like, you could have your short-term goal is that you need to get the book out quickly, but in the long term, you know, you want to plan a larger print run for the future, or maybe work out the
bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Great. So let's talk about these three main publishing options that you mentioned in the beginning, the traditional versus the independent versus the fee-based. Let's get some of the specific decision points on those, if you can.
We'll start with traditional because, as I said, it's the one that most people are familiar with. Some of the pros of that are going to be you don't have to do anything basically except write as the author. The publisher in that case is going to handle all of the business side. They're going to figure out, you know, the best font. They're going to figure out the best, you know, graphics. They're going to figure out how many to print. All of that kind of stuff is handled by the publisher. The author's main goal is to turn in an excellent manuscript. Later on, they're going to be asked to do promotion too, but on the front end, you're not going to handle any of the business stuff. So if you're a person that you have no desire whatsoever to go into business, traditional might be high on your list because, you know, you don't have to worry about those details. Another one is going to be credibility. Depending on the type of buyer or the type of reader that you're trying to approach, there are still some credibilities that are given to traditional that aren't yet given as much to the other options. If you are, you know, maybe highly literary topic or possibly educational, you know, that kind of thing, you may want to go with traditional just because people in those circles tend to give a little bit more weight to having been traditionally published. Traditional, also a big one that I hope, you know, changes is distribution. If your goals really need your book to be in a bookstore or in, you know, a Walmart or something like that, that is one area where it's a benefit to go traditional because they still have kind of the biggest access. The traditional publishers tend to have the biggest access to those marketing routes. So those would be three benefits to traditional publishing. On the other side of the spectrum, independent publishing, the benefits there are you're in control. As I mentioned, you are going to set up your own publishing business, so that means you decide pretty much everything. And if you're a person that likes that, if you're a person that, you know, has trouble handing over a project to somebody else because, you know, it's yours and you just want to handle everything, independent is probably going to be one of your top choices because it allows you to do that. We talked about time earlier. A benefit to independent publishing is you can control the time frame. You know, within the scope of the vendors that you work with, you know, if you want to get a book out in 6 months compared to, you know, a year and a half, once your manuscript is ready to go, you can find those vendors, such as, you know, your graphic designer and your printer and those kind of folks, you know, to work within your time frame generally. And so there's an advantage. If there's a specific need to get a book out quickly, you know, maybe it's because it's a topic in the news right now. You know, if you've got a book out about or want to write a book about Michael Jackson and you have the ability to get it out right now, you know, you're going to have an advantage there, and independent publishing can allow you to do that. And then with fee-based, it's sort of a blend between the two. You have a company that you're going to pay to help you along. You know, they're going to handle a lot of that business stuff if you're not so interested in it. And so it's, you know, kind of a halfway point. You do make some decisions comparatively to traditional. But probably the biggest one for the fee-based is that you still have somebody to hold your hand, but you've got a little bit more control.
Gosh, that's a really good point, Cheryl, that you brought up in under each one of the publishing options, and certainly gives the listeners some directions to what, you know, what works best for them. One thing I just want to backtrack a little bit, when you talked about goals, you had talked about making money. How realistic is publishing a book going to really, you know, create an income where it's maybe a sole income? How realistic is this really?
Well, you know, again, I think it really depends a lot on the individual. I've seen, and I'm aware of people that make a decent income, maybe not a sole income, but, you know, certainly a decent income, and they publish electronically. So, I mean, they're going to publish independently, but they produce e-books, and it's in a little bit different realm than like an e-book would be for a fiction person. But there are people that I know that do that very successfully, and that is their main thing. It depends a little bit, you know, on your topic. If you speak, you know, and you use your book that way, it sort of ties into the rest of what you do, then you can, you know, make a decent income that way. Fiction is a little bit harder. It's marketing is a little bit different than if you have a nonfiction, you know, especially like a really niche title. And so I believe fiction is probably the more difficult to make a good living. But I always tell people it's not impossible. If you personally are willing to work hard and market, and that kind of thing, you know, there's some possibility there. I also am not going to say that, you know, you're going to write a book and it's going to take off and you're going to sell, you know, a million copies. That I would probably say is not going to happen. But to build a business where you eventually could maybe rely on it, I think there's a possibility. I think, you know, with the right combination of marketing skills and you know, a good topic that is wanted by people, or people are kind of, you know, really looking for it, it's a possibility. I really think it is.
I think you just brought up one good point in that, and it's having the book that people want. I think that, and also the fact that if they are a speaker or, you know, do workshops or something like that, there's always that better chance of selling the book. And that's an important point that the potential authors really need to look at. You mentioned market. And that's also, I know, very important, being an author myself and in that business. So, however, you know, there's just a lot of authors are not people that are going to go out there and market. They just don't have that ability. And some of them are really introverted. They, you know, can write really well. They can produce a good book. But then there's the business part of it, which is mainly marketing. They just can't do it. So do you have any tips for these people?
I absolutely do. And I know that is where a lot of people kind of hit that roadblock. The book is done, and it's like, now what? You know, now what do I do? I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, being aware of that from the beginning. You know, be aware of what your skills are at the point that you start writing your book. And then realize, you know, if you're not willing to maybe speak, or you're not willing to, you know, be online and do a lot of networking, or, you know, whatever the, you know, the marketing tools that you might use, if you're aware at the beginning, then you take some of the pressure off. You know, then you come to the understanding early that if you're not going to do it, and, you know, your publisher is going to expect you to do so, or if you independently do it, then you certainly are going to have to do your own marketing. Then, like I said, the pressure is off, and you don't have to worry about it as much, but realize that you're not going to make, you know, a significant amount of money, or you're not going to sell a lot of books. However, if you do want to jump into that, and you think that you can do things, there are a lot of resources out there for marketing books. They can cost, your techniques can cost money, or they can be very inexpensive. Social networking is a great way to connect with people. Facebook, I really enjoy Facebook. I use Twitter also, and I have some success with that. You need to find what you're comfortable with. You know, get a book on book marketing. There are several out there. and then look through and look at your personality. You know, just because, again, it works for somebody else doesn't mean necessarily it's going to work for you. I personally find that networking online is a lot easier than the business kind of networking I used to do, you know, like where you go to maybe a chamber event, you know, chamber of commerce event, and you meet people and you hand out business cards and all that stuff. I find social marketing to be much easier. However, I have a relative that just can walk into any room and, in, you know, by the end of the night, he knows everybody, he's introduced everybody to his business, and he sold half of them, you know, to partner with him. So if, you know, your personality leans in a particular way, you know, maybe it's writing for magazines or, you know, article marketing, all of those kinds of things, I think it's key to figure out what you're good at and then focus on that.
Great. Yeah, that's definitely essential. Let's talk a little bit about marketing before the book is published. How does that change depending on which of the three routes that you're following?
Well, for independent, that is another area where you have control, and I think it depends on, I want to say, like, how well you're going to hit your deadlines. For example, I personally felt funny about setting up my website too far ahead, even though a lot of people recommend, you know, set up a website or, you know, get marketing several months ahead of time. I kind of was a little leery because I didn't know really when I was going to finish the book. So I felt funny about setting up a website going, oh, my book is coming out pretty soon, and then, you know, it's a year later and maybe I won't be done with it, that kind of thing. So before it's published and before it's written, I think, are two different things. But before it's published, you can definitely start, you know, setting up on Facebook, mentioning it to people, maybe make a fan page for it. Or if you write already for magazines or e-zines, you know, start writing for those that are in your niche. Like, we'll say, you know, you're a dog trainer. You know, way ahead of time, you can easily just start contributing or try to get your articles into magazines and e-zines and those kinds of things for dog lovers, dog trainers, you know, wherever your expertise is, and establish your name a little bit. Then when you are ready to announce your book, you can have, you know, those places to sort of tie back into. And then when you go to the traditional side, a big buzzword that's going around right now is platform, and that agents and editors are, you know, take a more serious look at you if you have a platform. And what that means is, what kind of connection do you already have with your readers? So if you're maybe writing your first novel and, you know, you, that's all you're doing, you haven't gotten, you know, any connections at all made, and then the editor is looking at somebody else who says, oh, yeah, you know, I blog twice a week and I've got, you know, 400 followers on my list, and, you know, and I give, you know, writing classes at the local college or whatever. All of those things are part of a platform. So a traditional publisher or editor or agent, you know, weighing those two books, the quality of the books being equal, they're probably going to lean toward the person that already has some connections, because that means they can sell books faster. With the fee-based, it's pretty much closer to the independent as far as that goes, because you're going to choose the time when you choose to hire that company. So again, you just find where your comfort zone is, you know, and when you want to start promoting it. You know, do you want the book done or close to done? You know, you can make those decisions on your own, kind of, when you have the fee-based as well as independent.
Cool. That's a really in-depth explanation. You mentioned agents before, and let's talk about what kind of genres need an agent or benefit from an agent, and how in the world do I go about finding one, and do I have to send them, like, proposals to an agent, and so on?
Sure, we can touch on that a little bit. Now, this is, I'll admit, this is not my strongest area of expertise, because I did go into the independent route. However, with the way publishing is right now, if you are going to approach a traditional publisher, I think it's going to be a very good idea, if you've never done a book before of any kind, or you don't have any kind of background in the industry at all, that you're going to want to look at an agent. Because what they do is they negotiate contracts when you get to that point. They present it to the publishing houses where they are pretty sure it's going to fit. And so that can be a big benefit when you have absolutely no idea, you know, what you're getting into, or have no background whatsoever. They're your advocate. As far as, you know, what genres, I don't really think it, when you're going traditional, that it matters a whole lot with genres. I think it matters more so on the size of the publishing house, and you would find that out, you know, in a writer's market guide. I mean, there are some publishers who won't look at anything that isn't agented, isn't, you know, given to them by an agent, but then there are smaller and independent presses who say, you know, we don't want an agent involved, or, you know, you don't need an agent. So I think really the determination as to whether you need an agent or not sometimes just depends on, you know, which type of publisher that you're going after and what their guidelines are. And then as far as how you go about finding one, there are resources, again, in something like Writer's Market. And then if you, you know, do some research online, you really want to be careful, you know, look at some of the websites that are like a Predators and Editors kind of thing that, you know, screens them or at least puts up some warnings if there's like a, you know, a really bad deal out there. And then you just, you want to be very careful. And that is one time where, you know, if you can talk to another author that writes in your genre, you know, they may either know that their agent is looking for manuscripts, or, you know, might be able to point you in the right direction as well.
Cheryl, the I'm just looking through your book, and one area that I want to talk about is understanding your audience. You mentioned that, you know, this is really an important area before you even consider publishing, as to what direction, you know, you need to go to, is really to understand your audience. And so I want to have you tell our listening audience why, what is so important about knowing the audience and why.
It's really important to know your audience, because they're going to be the ones that are going to buy, of course. And so if you know what their buying habits are, you're going to have a lot better chance at reaching them. For example, if your primary audience is a general audience, like maybe you have a fiction novel, you know, maybe a mystery, or you know, a romance or something like that. If you know that most people buy romance books either like on Amazon or maybe in a store, you know, a brick and mortar store, Walmart, or, you know, Borders Books, or whatever your case is, if you realize that that's where most of them are purchased, then you're going to have to get into the plan where you can get your book there, which is probably going to be traditional. Not impossible with the other true routes, but it's important that if you know, if your reader is looking for your book in a particular place, you need to have it there. You know, that you want to make it as convenient as it is as possible for them to buy it. Also knowing, especially in the case of nonfiction where you have a niche audience, if you know that your audience would buy from a website and they're not concerned that the book is not in a bookstore, and you know that, then you've got a good chance with going independent and possibly even doing an ebook, because if they're cool with coming to buy from you directly, then you can bypass all the bookstore stuff and not even have to worry about it. But if you don't know that ahead of time, you know, you again may choose an option where these people, you know, they're not maybe as likely to find you. You know, if you know that your primary audience is going to be the people that you speak to, you know, if you're a public speaker, or maybe it's in an association, you know, maybe you're you have a niche topic and the people that you're going to reach out to the most are in your own association, like a music association, or, you know, a psychologist association or something like that. Again, knowing that those people, how they buy their books, will help you determine then, is just one part of the ways that you will determine the best option to pick.
So when you're talking about the audience, is there like a certain a formula possibly that the authors can really sit down and, you know, say, okay, this is my audience? And what, and the reason I'm struggling here is because what I hear a lot of people that I coach is, when I ask who is your target audience, the term that they come up with, well, the general, you know, mm-hmm. I want everybody to read my book.
Right.
But that's not the way it works. And so So I'd like you to kind of talk about that.
Sure, sure. That, and in my book, that's kind of how I actually divide up how important your audience is. The one is, you know, what their buying habits are, and the other half is, who are they? And you are absolutely right. There are a lot of authors that say, well, who's going to be interested in your book? Well, everybody. Well, no. No. You know, unless you're selling water, you know, everybody probably doesn't need the information, or, you know, isn't going to be interested in the story that you have. I mean, you know, the book equivalent of water, I should say. So how you want to go about determining who your audience is, you know, want to sit down and say, okay, I write mysteries. Well, who buys mystery books? Okay, it's probably not young children, but it is, you can start with men and women, you know, start broad. Now narrow that down a little bit further. What is the typical age group? You know, is this something that 18 to 25-year-old men buy, or is this something that, you know, more so another age group buys? And it's not necessarily something you're going to find really easily and be able to quantify, but, you know, you're doing some research, you will be able to come up with some information about that. Look at if you write in the genre that you mainly read, you know, if you are a part of groups that, you know, read that genre, just look within your group. You know, are you in a group with women, you know, of a certain age? Or are you in a group with moms? Or are you in a group with, you know, moms of teens? Or, you know, you start with those broad categories of men and women or children, and then break it down from there. And then one other step that I'll add that it's important to do is, once you figure out who your primary buyer is, let's say we're going to say a mystery book, and your primary person is a woman from, you know, age 25 to 45, I'm just going to say. Now you have that, we'll say, is your primary audience that you're going to be selling to. You do have another level of audience, and that might be people who buy for your primary audience. That's not going to be somebody you're going to focus on all the time, but, you know, maybe it's husbands that might buy for their wives. You know, maybe it's a book, a bridal book, and so you're focusing, really your audience is, you know, young women, young single women from 18 to 30, but yet, you know, they might buy the book, but their moms also might buy the book for them. So you've got that primary group, but then break it down just one more step and say, well, who might buy this book, and give it to that person? And that gives you another, you know, little part of the formula to work with too.
Well, that's great. And you sent me your e-book, and so it's just been really great looking through it. Now, the name of this e-book that I got was Publishing Possibilities, 8 Steps to Understanding Your Options and Choosing the Best Path for Your Book. Now, is this also available in print?
Yes. Yes, it's available in both formats, and either the print one is also available at my website, or it's available, you know, Amazon, or you can special order it through you know, a regular store.
Okay, great. And please tell our listening audience your website address again.
Sure, that's www.publishinganswers.com.
PublishingAnswers.com. Nice. Now, how simple is that? That's a great domain name.
I was amazed that I was able to get it. I bought it probably like 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and I was absolutely floored that it was available.
That's great. Now, gosh, Cheryl, this has been really great talking to you, and you certainly have given us a lot of pointers that I'm sure many of the listening audience is going to have to just really ponder and say, okay, you know, which direction do I really want to go into, and what would work best for me. And so we really appreciate you taking the time and effort and being online with us.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. I really, you know, I wrote the book because I wanted to help readers, or writers rather, that, you know, they just had no idea where to go, you know, and because it's very overwhelming. It can be just, you know, you have no idea which way to turn when you first get started. So, you know, I've been there, and I wanted to help people in that situation. And I also want to help people that maybe had a disappointing experience the first time. You know, maybe they've done one book and they just really didn't like you know, the way the whole process went for them, and just, you know, let them know there are other options. You know, maybe if you tweak the one that you did the first time, or, you know, maybe you need to go in a different direction. You know, don't give up if you've got more stuff that you want to get out there, because there's just, you know, so many options now.
Definitely. And thank you again, Cheryl. And for our listeners, this has been another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back next week when our topic will be How to Write Your Own Story, and our special guest will be Patrika Vaughn. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, saying good night.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.